Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the first debut episode of Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm very happy to be here today for friends, associates, mentors. I want to, first of all, give a thank you to Alexa Foreman of Turner Classic Movies for the great title that she lent us for this show. I want to say that this show is going to be about film and people who love film, and we're going to be having film reviews and discussions on film history and interviews with film and television crew, directors, actors, producers, writers, cinematographers. We're going to be discussing film festivals. Today our guest is going to be a guy who has a movie out there on the festival rounds right now. He's going to be calling in a few minutes. But I just wanted to take the time to say thank you for everyone who's supported this idea to do this show. It's going to all be about art and the love of movies. And we have an email that you can email us if you have ideas for an episode or ideas for a guest, or you want to, ask about an episode, you can call in. Feel free to drop an email to paulboothmovies@gmail.com. Again, that's paulboothmovies@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and hear your ideas. So thank you for that. We're just waiting on our guests to call in here. And so as we do that, I want to tell you about a great movie that's in theaters right now. It's titled The Judge. It's with Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. It also has a great cast: Billy Bob Thornton, Dax Shepard, Vera. I feel so bad, I always pronounce her name wrong, but she was so great in The Departed, and she was so great in Up in the Air, the woman who dated George Clooney, and of course dated DiCaprio in The Departed. But you got to see this movie, The Judge. Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall, always good. For you classic film lovers, coming up this weekend, I wanted to recommend The Searchers, which is a great classic Western directed by John Ford. It's going to be playing Saturday the 18th at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on Turner Classic Movies. So check that out if you have it. Again, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific. And for Netflix, I saw a great movie with Jesse Eisenberg the other night, who most of us know him from The Social Network, of course. And his great Oscar-nominated performance. And it's called Why Stop Now? And it's got Tracy Morgan. It's a great little indie gem. I remember I found it in the Red Box a few years back, and now it's on Netflix. I want to keep the love of that film going on. I just want to briefly, as we wait for our guests to call in, tell you about today's film. It's titled The Historian, and it is stars William Sadler, who many of you know from Shawshank Redemption or Die Hard 2 or a number of films. He's a great actor. And The Historian, I don't want to go too much into it without Miles. Oh, hold on. I see that he's calling in here. Let me get Miles on the phone. Miles?
Yes, Paul.
Oh, hello. Welcome.
Thank
you for calling in. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
Yes, I was just saying here that we're going to be discussing The Historian, and I was discussing Mr. Sadler. I will go into the rest of introducing you, but I realize I've never had to pronounce your name, your last name, so I don't want to pronounce it wrong. So if you could just tell us your first and last name.
Sure, it's Miles Doliak.
Okay, Doliak. Okay. Yes, again, as I was letting the audience know, Miles has joined us today to discuss his film, The Historian, which has screened at the Soho International Film Festival in New York. It played at Dances with Films in Los Angeles back in June. That was where I actually got to see it. It played at the Long Island International Film Expo, where it picked up awards for Best First Feature. Congratulations, Miles.
Thank you.
Best Actor to William Sadler, and Best Supporting Actor for John Colum. And so now what I want to do is I want to kind of turn it over to you, Miles. I see that we have some upcoming screenings. You're going to be playing a festival in Mississippi. But before we get to that, I just want you to tell us a little bit about what's the film about.
Well, The Historian represents the convergence of two paths in my life that have been profoundly meaningful to me for a long time. I began at a very young age to act on primarily on stage and ultimately on screens, big and small. I had always been something of a writer. I started directing theater as well once I got out of college and was in my early mid-20s in New York. I actually started a theater company with my producing partner on The Historian, Mackenzie Westmoreland, that was dedicated to the production of plays by Southern playwrights, because both Mackenzie and I are from Mississippi. I eventually moved out to L.A., though, and when my acting career was going more or less nowhere, I was doing some things here and there, but not paying the bills, primarily working in food service. I met, through a fortuitous set of circumstances, a professor of history from UCLA, a man by the name of Scott Barchi, who specializes in early Christianity, which is a topic that I've always had some interest in. And we got to chatting, and he said, "Hey, you know, Miles, you're an intellectually inquisitive guy. You seem to be interested and passionate about these matters. Why don't you come sit in on one of my classes sometime, and hey, you can even take it for credit through UCLA Extension." So I did, and I wound up taking four courses with Dr. Barchi at UCLA and really loving it. And after about the fourth course, the words of the assistant dean of my drama school at North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a man named Robert Beseda, rang in my ears. He had always said to me, "You know, if you ever find something that you love to do other than this, you should do that. Because this business, that is the entertainment business, it's very, very tough." So,
Right.
So I found this other thing I loved to do that was, you know, the study of history. I only had a degree in theater at the time, and Professor Barchi suggested I go back and get a master's in history and apply to the PhD program at UCLA, which I did. As it turns out, I didn't wind up going to UCLA. Their funding offer just wasn't enough with the cost of living out there. I wound up going to Tulane University in the great city of New Orleans.
Oh, yes,
home of
wonderful.
The Saints.
Football season's going.
So I arrived in New Orleans just in time for Hurricane Katrina, but as it turns out, that was something of a blessing in disguise, because as you know, Paul, after Katrina, there was this enormous boom of film production and television production in Louisiana.
Right.
And, at that time, I had almost left acting and writing and, you know, entertainment business behind, but I saw this swirling stew pot of entertainment business stuff, you know, happening around me, and I just kind of got pulled back in and realized that, in fact, that was my first love in the world, and I could never really leave it behind. I was in several wonderful independent films, and I saw friends of mine making their own independent films, and I said, you know what, I could do this. I could make my own film, and I could make a film that you know, brought to bear my own experiences and my own feelings and opinions about some very important issues and problems that I was seeing going on in my academic life. So I sat down to write a screenplay, and the first draft of The Historian got turned out about three weeks' time. I started writing the very opening monologue of the film, which is this jaded, middle-aged, formerly celebrated history professor whose career is on the downward spiral, who is effectively intellectually terrorizing a young student who he perceives as inadequate and intellectually inferior by basically demonstrating the facets of Roman crucifixion on this kid's person. That was the very first thing that was written in the film. And that was this character, Valerian Hadley, the character that Bill Sadler wound up playing in the film. And the script sort of grew up around that monologue and that character. Ultimately, the story came to center around another character as well, the character of Ben Rhodes, who's a younger classics professor, studied the history of the ancient world, who flees a personal tragedy and a painful divorce to come to a new town and a new university and to try to sort of start anew. And there he finds all the same problems personally and professionally that he had before, and compounded in some respects even further by this middle-aged professor, Dr. Hadley, played by Bill Sadler, who rules his department with an iron fist and will not suffer fools lightly. And our Dr. Hadley, Bill Sadler's character, has a young graduate student, played by Jillian Taylor, who immediately becomes infatuated with our new professor coming in, and that creates all manner of conflict and trouble between these two professors, and their conflict, both personal and professional, is sort of the driving force of the narrative of the film. So that's a big, long story to tell you how this film sort of came to be, but I think both of those paths that I was treading sort of were crucial to the creation of this film, and I feel like my personal history and experience was really important in this film coming to life. So,
well, that's also your for those of you that haven't seen the film, and you're going to have your chance here at some upcoming festivals and some theatrical some areas that it's going to be playing theatrically, and then of course VOD, and of course we're going to give you all those information. But I had the chance to see this film at Dances with Films, and was fortunate enough to meet Miles and speak with some of his crew. And this was really a film that I felt did call for a mixture of a lot of different, you know, it seems like if you didn't have that history background, you definitely couldn't have fleshed out a character that's a history teacher. And if you didn't really have the love of acting, you couldn't have. Because I would say the hardest thing about this, for, of course, you listeners don't know that we have not mentioned, is aside from writing, producing, and directing this movie, can you tell us who plays the professor?
Yes, I play the character of Ben Rhodes, the younger professor, the younger classicist who comes into conflict with Bill's character. So he and I are sort of the two leads in the film, and that was one of the trickiest things about directing this film. And for a long time, I didn't know if I wanted to direct this film, precisely because of that issue, trying to direct yourself and trying to maintain a sense of objectivity and trying to always maintain that director's hat, even when you're working on a scene as an actor, and to be able to give due diligence to both those roles is a very, very tricky dance, a very hard thing. But at the end of the day, I'm so glad that I did, that I dove in. And I, of course, was surrounded by wonderful people like my producing partner, Mackenzie Westmoreland, and my wonderful unit production manager, jack of all trades, Ashley Nichols. My wife, Lindsay Williams, was the costume designer on the film and was often a sounding board. I had a great script supervisor in Dawn Kennedy, who was there at every turn, checking every jot in Twitter. So I had an amazing first AD, Tony Cabral, DGA first AD, who was sort of my right hand in sort of the logistical elements of the film. So I was surrounded by some really wonderful people. My DP, Ben Powell, who helped to sort of keep me focused where I needed to be focused when we were actually shooting the film, and allowed me to while I was continuing to wear the director's hat, even when I was performing in a scene, allowed me to be the actor at the same time and to focus on the performance, you know. And it was just an amazing group of people behind the camera.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that you mentioned those things, because for you listeners that don't know, some of the things that that Miles mentioned are beyond essential on a film set and in the creation of films. And part of the reason why I wanted to do this show, and why we'll eventually be talking to crew members and writers and cinematographers, is because, and I think anyone who's directed a film would agree with this, is that yes, it is a director's medium, but it is not your film in the sense that just you did everything. You don't set your own lights. You don't make your own schedule. I mean, you have say as a producer, but people really out there, I really wanted to draw attention to the fact that everyone when you go and see a movie and you see that it's Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, that effects have went into that, and costume and makeup, and yes, he's the great Iron Man. So this was, I'm really glad that you mentioned these positions, because these are, for those of you that don't know, these are people that would, you know, would help Miles with scheduling and the camera and the lighting, so Miles could wear these different hats, because it's exceptionally hard to do. I mean, I meet acting students who have trouble playing scenes with fellow students. So is there something that, is there something that you could share with us where, you know, I, of course, had the great pleasure of talking with Mr. Sadler, so I could understand his genuine and kind nature, but stepping into a scene with, people are people, but you're stepping into a scene with the guy from Shawshank Redemption or Die Hard 2, was there any kind of that little bit of nervousness on your side, or were you just too busy to even notice, or...
Before I go on, I should also, in that long litany of people, thank Ryan Jackson, who is another producer on this film and who wound up being my second AD and just the foreman of the set. He was amazing, too. I don't want to leave Ryan out when I'm talking about the brain trust of this project, but he was absolutely critical. And Ryan and Mackenzie and I are already teaming up again to work on another project, so I don't want to omit him. But... To your question, it's working with somebody like Bill Sadler. I mean, Bill Sadler, before I met him and when we started thinking and talking about him for the project, one of the things that people would always say about Bill, he is a consummate professional. He's just a consummate professional. And you know what? He really is. And so when you step into a scene with somebody like that, he's as a professional and as somebody that has been in, you know, I don't know, probably 100 movies. What I think develops, what an actor develops after that those kinds of experiences, doing it for as long as Bill has, he knows every little element of filmmaking. You know, he knows eye lines and he knows continuity and he knows the best place that a light is supposed to be, and he may not like know the technical logistics of those things, but it's just something that, having worked in the business as long as Bill has, he's almost learned it by osmosis. And the great thing about working with somebody like Bill is that he shares that stuff with you, and it's that's wonderful if you're just his fellow actor in the scene. But it's even better if you're the director. And one thing that I like to consider myself an actor's director. I come at things from an actor's perspective first. And I think actors, you know, and the actors on my movie sense that. And they sense that I was open to their suggestions and their ideas, not just from a character perspective, but even sometimes from a technical perspective. You know, Bill has some ideas about things, and, you know, Bill and I and Tony Cabral would get together and huddle up, and then Bill would share an idea, and Tony would pull me aside, and he would say, you know, hey, this guy's done more movies than the two of us put together. You know, yes, as an actor, you know, maybe we ought to listen to him. And we would sometimes incorporate some things that Bill would have to say, just because he's been there, he knows the set like the back of his hand. And so rather than making another actor feel intimidated, I think Bill makes the other actor feel at home and makes them feel like he's there to support them in the scene and there to help them, that other actor play. You know, without revealing too much about the plot, we had a young actress who was doing her first feature. Jillian Taylor plays the role of Anna, the female lead. Her first scene, the very first scene she shot on the movie, was a very difficult, emotionally overwrought, tough, tough scene with Bill near the end of the movie, this big crack.
Right, right.
And I know she was nervous. I could tell, you know, walking, it was maybe the second day of shooting. I could tell that she was nervous. And, you know, she walked into that scene with Bill, and, you know, Bill sort of pulled her aside and said a few words to her. I don't even know what he said. But I could tell that very quickly those nerves and that anxiety sort of faded away, and Jill was able to just let loose and play the scene with Bill, and that's just kind of the actor that he is. So it was an absolute privilege to work with him as an actor, but it was wonderful to work with him as a director, too, because you're working with somebody that just had veteran sensibilities, a veteran understanding of a film set, and if he has something to contribute, he's probably pretty close to spot on about it. He's just been on enough sets.
Yeah. His intelligence, too. I mean, I don't want to plug my work on this show, but I was fortunate enough to review this film. And for those of you that want to review it before you get your chance to, or check out a review of it before you get your chance to see it, and also read a interview that, of course, I really do not want to be promoting myself on this show, but because it pertains to Miles and the historian, William Sadler granted us an interview for Influx Magazine. So you can check out www.influxmagazine.com and search The Historian and William Sadler. There's also the trailer on there, and that can give you a sense. But I brought this up because you hit on something key that I noticed, and I only had a nice hour-long conversation with Mr. Sadler, is that I felt like he did kind of, like when you just said that he somehow made that actor feel more at ease, I think you could kind of tell in the moment. I was kind of like, I'm talking to the Shawshank Redemption guy, and he could really make me feel like I had something to contribute as a journalist. And so it's really interesting because just what you said sparked that in my mind, that I remember feeling after about 2 or 3 minutes that it was just like, oh, you know, we're just talking and we're just people. And I think that fantastic nature that he has must have just been an incredible asset as a filmmaker for you.
It absolutely was. I mean, he was top notch. I mean, I can't imagine anybody else playing the role. I was very, very fortunate to get to work with him. My very first day on set was him and the great, near legendary, I think, John Cullum, Tony winner, Emmy nominee, amazing guy, and we had John for 2 days. And so we had to shoot the vast majority of the scenes with Bill and John. John plays Bill's father in the film. And these two men know each other fairly well. They worked together before. They had actually played father and son before on the television series Roswell. These scenes that they played together were these glorious duets. And they were just absolutely fantastic to watch. You talk about, as a first-time feature director, walking on your set and needing a little shot in the arm, a little shot of confidence, and walking on and watching through the monitor, watching Bill Sadler and John Cullum play your scenes and your words, that was unbelievable. So the success of this film, the film lives and dies to a great degree on its cast. And, you know, if I did anything right, it was that I cast the right people in these roles, because they're perfect. I mean, Bill and John, Colin Cunningham, Glennis O'Connor, Leticia Jimenez, Jill, Lindsay, Michael Emery, Tamara Murley. I mean, we could go on and on. But the heart and soul of the film, of course, is Bill's character, and those scenes with Bill and John that we shot right out of the gate when we were just finding our footing. Those are my favorite scenes in the picture, just because of the energy, the collaborative nature that the two of those guys have together. They were absolutely superb. So I was really, really fortunate in the cast I was able to lure to this project.
Oh, well, I can speak for and right after I say this, we'll go into, I have the information here, but I'll also let Miles possibly say where we're going to be. He's going to be having some theatrical screenings. But I can say that for anyone that should go check out this movie, the dynamics between John Cullum and William Sadler were amazing, and it was so nuanced. And I mean, I really thought they were really father and son. Like, I was just thinking, like, maybe they used stage names but I just kind of thought maybe Bill's, I thought maybe Mr. Sadler's name, dad would probably be a little bit older. We don't need to reveal how close they actually are in age, but with this, everyone, I want to just, so we, to make sure, because we have a good 5 minutes left, that we can discuss the chances that you have to see this movie before it, the release date is to be announced of video, VOD streaming. It says here by Devolver Digital, and of course that's going to be announced. So of course it's, I see here, Miles, you have a screening coming up on the 20th at the Sun and Sand Film and Music Festival.
Yes, we're going to be screening at the Sun and Sand Music Festival on October 20th. That's at the Cinemark 16 Theater on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Gulfport, Mississippi. And we encourage people to come out for that. That's Sun and Sand Music Film and Music Festival, October 20th, 6 p.m., Cinemark 16 on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But if you're in Mississippi, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to see the film. It's opening theatrically at the Grand Theaters in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and D'Iberville, Mississippi, on November 7th. So the Grand Theater, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, D'Iberville, Mississippi, November 7th. And there may be other theaters regionally that we're going to be opening in. We're looking at the New Orleans market and the Jackson, Mississippi market. That's going to be dependent on how the film is received, what kind of audiences we get. We are opening in New York City at a wonderful theater, the Quad Cinemas, and in the Village on November 28th. And you can go on their Coming Soon website, watch our trailer. That's at quadcinemas.com. Click on the Coming Soon tab. We're already up. Our poster's up. And the synopsis and the trailer and all that good stuff. And who knows where we're going to go from there. Some of this is going to be dependent on audience response. We're kind of taking a tiered approach to the theatrical release. But we do have a digital release in place with Devolver. Andy Grace and the wonderful folks from Devolver who saw our film at Dances with Films and decided to work with us. And we're putting together that release information, and we'll be releasing that both on our Facebook page, which is Historia Films, and our website, which is just getting up and running, or will be up and running within a week or so. It's thehistorianmovie.com. Okay.
Yes, make sure you guys write that down, thehistorianmovie.com. And also, they have a Facebook page that you can like. I'm glad that you mentioned that, Miles, because I was going to say go ahead and throw that Facebook out there. But just so you guys know, again, October 20th here at the Sun and Sand Music Festival on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Hattiesburg, and I know I'll pronounce this,
D'Iberville,
yeah, Mississippi at the Grand Theaters, November 7th. You guys really need to get out and support this film so it gets more regional expansion. I think it's fantastic that this film is going to be in New York City, and especially somewhere as historical, so suiting to the title that you're going to be playing in the Village. All the history of music and poetry and artistry and film, that's a whole other thing. I'm going to have to wrap it up here in the next minute or so, so I just wanted to give my extreme thanks to Miles for his time. And one last thing was just a small thing, was that when I met Miles, we met like in front of the door of the Oscars. And so it was kind of funny because it was like, so we were talking about history and we were talking about things, and it was kind of nice to be at this independent festival and standing next to where so much film history happens and occurs every year. So Miles, we wish you the best with the film, and please, you know, keep me updated, and I'll be happy to put the info over the air, or we'll have you on again for a minute or two to tell us where you're at and what's going on so we can support the historian.
I absolutely will. Go out and see my movie, see Bill Sadler and John Cullum's work. Let's get them some awards consideration, because these guys are unbelievable.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time. Miles and I are going to sign off now. Miles, you take care and have a wonderful evening. And again, I appreciate the time. And to all the listeners, thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends to check it out. Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm the host, and our next episode will have a visual effects guy who's done some real big blockbusters this year. So if you like effects movies, you'll want to check in next week. Take care, everyone, and aloha.